My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Devone is not just a person, he's an entity. He is in some cases omnipotent.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
He's also mellifluous. That's Dan Devone alongside Evan Giddings, Ken Littrell on the ones and twos. Ken, what is this song? Yes. Well, you know my knowledge doesn't run that deep. Was this Carly Simon?
We'll never go out of style. Taylor Swift.
Oh, there we go.
Who this song's about?
Travis Kelce.
Is this a love story?
No. This is out of style.
Oh, out of style.
Yeah. Harry Styles.
Come on.
Dude, I'm sorry, man.
Stance.
No, you cannot be airing out... I don't know this song. You can't air out your former relationships through music all the time. You can do it once. Anybody watching on YouTube... If you have a brick, I can throw it, Dan. Please send it over.
Don't mess with the Swifties.
Idiot Kearney. No, I know. It feels like I've been, taking shots at him the entire show.
I remember Howard Stern went, remember Lady Gaga, at the height of her popularity, he went after the Monsters, and they just destroyed his life for like a month. And finally, he went back on the air, and Howard Stern doesn't do this frequently. He's like,
apologize.
Enough, I'm sorry. Please, Lady Gaga, call the Monsters off.
You know you've gotten to Howard Stern, who's probably not on social media, doesn't care about anything that anybody says about him whatsoever. Probably was his PR person who came to him and was like, dude, Howard, I'm not going to lie, man. I know you don't care about this. You live in a shell. You live in an igloo somewhere in New York. That's $2 million a month. You got to say sorry. You got to come out and apologize to Lady Gaga's fans. What I will not be doing is apologizing to the Swifties from now until noon. Ooh, every single day.
Sure,
I haven't said anything wrong.
That's stupid. Don't say that again.
Nothing to apologize about. Mm-hmm. What I do want to get into, actually, Dan, before we move on, like we have some thoughts about, I would say, the most significant deal in about 10 years for the San Francisco Giants. Also, Monday Night Football coming up for the San Francisco 49ers. I have some takes about that, as well as the entire 2024 season I want to get to. But before we do, it's this story that's been impacting everyone as far as sports viewing goes. But I feel like it's been swept a little bit under the radar because people have just been mad about it. Now, I tease being angry at DirecTV and being mad at ESPN because right now there's a dispute that prevents DirecTV paying customers from watching ESPN. And this, of course, affects 49ers fans, Dan, because they're on Monday Night Football. And there is a possibility that if you have DirecTV, you will not be able to watch your favorite team on Monday night. However, what is interesting about this is, unlike most TV providers, this isn't actually about extracting more money from the customer. This is about, according to the DirecTV CFO, Ray Carpenter, this is actually about trying to reverse cord cutting. It's about DirecTV saying that ESPN or the Walt Disney Company is actually charging people too much money. And what DirecTV is essentially holding out about is trying to maintain a price point for their customers and keep people's money in their pockets. So, in fact, I know that people can't watch, and I would love watching the U.S. Open. You might not be able to watch Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Baseball, whatever it is you watch. But it kind of is for a cause, which is very rare in a lot of these cases.
Yeah, I mean, so where are you at with this? Are you supporting DirecTV? I mean, I can't... If you're unable to watch the game on Monday night, I mean, what's the bottom line and all? Tell me how you really feel.
Well, according to Carpenter, only 6% of paying customers want to pay more than $6 a month for ESPN, which everyone is pretty much doing. I think it's close to 10. Not sure. But I am also a DirecTV paying customer, and my family is. And it's been really hard because, for example, I wanted to watch Taylor Fritz and Francis Tiafoe last night in the semifinals of the U.S. Open. Fritz won the match. I'm watching the highlights tonight, but I would like to sit down and watch that game or that match.
Are there no Americans left on the men's side?
Fritz is in the final.
Okay.
Yeah, so Fritz has a chance to be the first American U.S. Open winner, I think, since Andy Roddick in like 2009.
Well, there were two women in the semis, right? Or the quarters.
Well, yeah, I mean, the females have cleaned up. I mean, Coco Gauff won the U.S. Open last year. So
she's out. So it's either, is it Pugula? Jenny Pugula?
Pegula and Sabalenka?
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Anyways, the point is, I would like to be able to watch that. I would also like to be able to watch all the rest of ESPN's programming, but I can't. But I also, Dan, this is where I'm conflicted, because I'm a little pissed at DirecTV for doing this at the time that they did it. But I also understand that in order to achieve what they want, I feel like they're eventually in a cave, but if they do want to keep the prices at a certain level, then there is no better time to enact your leverage than right before the beginning of football season. So I'm not sure if Carpenter and DirecTV are going to cave in and just give in to ESPN's demands, but at the very least, I feel like I can't be mad at them. They're trying to save me money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think the whole landscape is just, I don't have Peacock, and I didn't realize that until last night, so I couldn't watch that game. The whole landscape now in terms of cord cutting and watching now mainstream sports and having to do it through a streaming platform is something that we have to get our arms around. I mean, I knew it was in Brazil and it was on this weird Friday night and I sort of spaced it, but I listened to all the post game and I actually was able to watch the highlights of the game, but I was like, man, I don't have Peacock. I can't even see this thing. Like, what the hell is this? It's Philadelphia and Green Bay in prime time. And
on the CAC.
thank you. Mm-hmm. And it's on Peacock. That's sort of where we're at right now.
Well, basically, and that's why I also don't have an issue with DirecTV doing what they're doing once I kind of dug into the stories, because I don't know if they're putting their foot down for the rest of us in cord cutting, but now you're paying for Amazon, you're paying for Netflix, you're paying for Max, maybe you have a bundle, it's Hulu, Hulu along with ESPN, all under the Walt Disney Company, so maybe you have something there, but it's almost like you're paying in totality what you'd be paying for a television package in the first place, and then there's add-ons to that, so it's like, I understand where DirecTV is coming from, they're trying to keep their costs at a certain level to keep their customers, but I think it's also potentially significant in regards to trying to stop what every service provider is attempting to do, which is just take more money out of your pocket and transferring, especially real-time sports. I think Netflix had its first live sporting event, which was a Nadal-Alcaraz exhibition tennis match. That's something that I want to watch, so I'm going to have to pay more once Netflix charges more, similar to Peacock. A lot of people, I think, recognized last night that that game was not on NBC. The Thursday night game, the Chiefs and the Ravens, you could watch on Peacock, but it was also on NBC. That game last night had a different broadcast crew. It's essentially the the Apple TV Friday night game, which I think the Giants were on, and I'm not paying for that.
Yeah.
But if I want to watch football, and if Peacock is going to be the NBC representative, those are, in my opinion, the best games of the week on Sunday night, then in a couple of years, I probably will be paying for Peacock.
Just to bring it back to the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk and contracts and contract disputes, which is why we just have to recognize when we talk about this new revenue model, which is what this is at the end of the day, it's that the NFL is just tapping into all these resources, because whereas they used to make all their millions or billions of dollars from the networks, now you have this new infusion of money from the streaming platforms. So the 49ers are a multi-billion dollar annually industry, right? I think Jerry Jones is at $12 billion a year.
They were the first franchise to crack 10.
So
$10 billion.
When you're thinking about paying CeeDee Lamb $30 million, or we talk about Brandon Ayuk, we're really quibbling here because they can afford it. And I think I said this last week, is that I think that there is this misperception that while everybody has an opportunity to publicly see how much these players make, especially when they get into a contract dispute, nobody's opening up the books for that of the 49ers and saying, oh, well, yeah, you know what? I was feeling bad for San Francisco having to acquiesce to this greedy football player. But you know what? Now that I see just how much money you're making from Amazon, Peacock, the NFL, or NBC and CBS and all this, I mean, come on. What are we doing here at the end of the day? Pay the guy, because you certainly can afford it.
Well, that's what's able to drive it. It's the media rights deals. I mean, it's also, tickets and fans and sponsorships and all the rest, but it's the amount of eyeballs that the NFL generates. I think it was 28.6 million viewers watched the season opener in Kansas City. You know, that's a record for season openers, and that will just continue to grow the more eyeballs they get on it. And that's why I don't think that television providers have any issue with charging whatever they charge, or also forcing you to kind of move over to the streaming platform. You know, in a couple of years, NBC will, it'll still be available, but I think there's going to be a lot more, plus packages and basically these games or events that are only available on Peacock or on Apple TV, or on YouTube TV, or on, ESPN Plus, is another one. And it's just going to get more and more private to the point where you're going to have to buy them. And that's why I am, again, mad at the end of the day that I can't watch my favorite sports and potentially the Niners on Monday Night Football, although I'm going to be there. But it's also because I can't really be too pissed at the television provider, and I don't really know where to point my ire outside of the fact that I'm looking up and I can't watch my channel. Yeah, Ken.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in. Roger Goodell actually was talking about this on CNBC yesterday in an interview, and he put it to the fans, really. He said, the bottom line is you have to go where your fans are, and our fans are moving off onto streaming platforms. And they even, reading this article here, they talk about the revenue of traditional pay TV homes. From 2019, it went from $84 million in 2019 to $58 million in 2023. So there is a significant decrease.
No, but I think that's also part of this, too, is there's something about having all your sports on streaming platforms, and that is certainly where things are moving. But the issue is that there's no warden, essentially, to stop these streaming platforms from charging whatever they want. It's like they're forcing you to move to the different platforms, but there's no rent control. Like, nobody is going to be able to set a particular price point for how much it can go up every single year, or how much you're just going to have to pay in general. And so that's why I do think that DirecTV attempting to take a stand, which at the end of the day is fool's gold in my mind. Like, I think if they're going to cave by Monday, they want their viewers, they're going to have Monday Night Football available for everyone. But I don't think that this kind of issue is going away, especially for large streaming service providers.
It's only
going
to get worse, I think. I mean, this is... It's capitalism, really, at the end of the day, because it gets really competitive between the streaming networks, and then they try and outbid one another. And so you're just what we're in right now is a transition where you're going to have to pay to watch whatever sporting event you want. Like that sort. I'll bring it back home. I'm my entrepreneurial side. We have a platform. We developed an app where we have athletes on board, and the athletes will solicit their fan base that. We have a lot of boxers on. If you see me doing well during a boxing match, tip me. Like, that's how they generate revenue, is that if you're watching a boxing match and it's whomever that's scoring a flurry and you're wrapped up in that moment, you get on our platform and you start tipping this guy like, good job, good job. So the revenue in terms of how athletes, in terms of how viewers, in terms of how people like myself see sports, it's changing in front of our very eyes, and technology has a lot to do with it. And I think we just have to realize that watching the 49ers for free or NFL for free or whatever it is that you enjoy in that sporting realm, that's beginning to change. And in 10, 15 years from now, you're going to look back at that and say, whoa, those were the days, or those were the glory days when actually you could sit down and watch this stuff and not have to pay.
Did you just shamelessly plug?
Yes, I did.
Your app?
I absolutely did.
On 95.7 The Game to a major top five radio market in the country.
That Ken was able to slide in. Not only does he have James Taylor knowledge, but CNBC is what he's watching in the middle of the afternoon.
Google it.
Is that what you got on right now?
What's that?
Well, so James Taylor, Taylor Swift.
You dropped CNBC knowledge.
Well, someone's got to do it. It ain't going to be me.
Not me either.
Come on, man. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Dan, it's where things are going. And it's also something that I think is, it's not going to be deterred by, like, this is from the 510, who's surmising that this will be the death of the NFL. Baseball thought it was invincible. The exclusivity of the Pac-12 network is what led to their demise. They're trying to satisfy multiple partners instead of billions of customers, even though I don't really care about Packers or Eagles. I would have watched, but found other stuff to do. That's true, but I don't think that, I don't know, maybe I'm a bit overzealous when I say this, but to me, the NFL is bulletproof just because of...
They can do whatever they want.
And you're going to pay for it.
Yep.
I mean, I think they understand that too. Now, there might be a market correction somewhere down the line, but as of now... Every single person that I know that's a sports fan will find a way to get the games that they need, and particularly for their teams. Like, yes, the Packers-Eagles last night, that's a game we're watching because we might use it to talk about the 49ers or week one, or it's also just a good matchup that I would want to watch. But the average fan is probably not, maybe a Niners fan is not watching Packers-Eagles, but if the Niners are playing on Peacock, which they might at some point this season, or potentially in the playoffs, because I think they had the first Peacock-exclusive postseason game last year in the NFL, you're absolutely going to pay for that to watch your team.
Yeah.
Or you're going to go to a bar, and then you're going to spend $30 more, essentially paying for TV.
To be fair, though, I think if you're in the market of San Francisco, you would get the game locally if it was on Peacock.
Not if it's exclusive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because they used to do that with NFL Network. If you didn't have NFL Network, and they were doing a Thursday night game, let's say, they would get, well, if you're in the market of these two teams, you get this game on this channel locally.
But I also believe that that's the biggest difference for these platforms, is like last night's game is exclusively on Peacock. And, for example, like the Giants, whenever they play on Apple TV, they are blacked out. You can't get them on NBC Sports Bay Area. So you have to purchase Apple TV for that one game of the week. And I'm going to be honest, in that case, I'm just not watching the Giants on Friday night. Partially because they also aren't very good.
I'll tell you, when I was a child growing up, if your local team didn't sell out, they weren't televised.
Exactly. Missed a lot of Raiders games.
Exactly.
And Chargers games, honestly.
Speaking of the Giants and Apple TV, can we transition out of the dollars and cents now?
Well, if it don't make money, it don't make sense.
Well, actually,
what do you got, Devone?
We're all about money when it comes to Chapman.
Yes. What, 6 years, $151 million?
Did you see that coming?
I was hoping.
Yeah, we're all hoping, but with Boris to come in that early, like, what the hell?
Sports is so reactionary, right? Last year, it took him forever to put his foot down. He wouldn't accept any deals, and it feels like he's been trying to kick this thing down the line in regards to Matt Chapman. Let's take him.
Talking about Scott Boras.
Yeah, I can remember Matt Chapman the year before he was traded to the Blue Jays in Oakland. There were rumors that he wanted $300 million. And at the time, it was like, oh, well, you know, he's a generationally great defensive third baseman. And he was, I think at the time, he was hitting, you know, 25 to 30 home runs a year on average in Oakland. And it was, okay, well, maybe this, maybe he could be a $300 million player. But that's why the A's also had to move him. I also think that it was a little over his skis. But that's where Boras has always done the job. He's gotten his guys the most bread possible up until the last couple of years, because I think he's been looking for the perfect deal as opposed to a great deal. You know, Maddux always talks about not needing to throw the perfect pitch. You can throw a great pitch or a good pitch and be fine. This, to me, is Scott Boras throwing a good to great pitch, not settling for the perfect pitch, and also keeping his client in a place that he wants to be. I do think Matt Chapman wants to sign with San Francisco.
I think that has a lot to do with it. I think that Chapman blew into his ear and said, get a deal done. I want to stay here. How much of this is Farhan and being in a space of desperation? In other words, did Farhan initiate this saying, I can't wait until Thanksgiving to get this done? Did he go back to Boras and say, look, I'll overpay. I'll give you 151, but let's get this wrapped up now because, listen, time is not on my side.
Well, that's true. Yeah, October 1st, time is ticking. Well, I think there's a couple factors at play here. Number one, Chapman had an opt-out. So you probably, as a GM or president of baseball operations, need to have...
Conversations were taking place, obviously.
Well, you need to know which way your guy's leaning in order to game plan for the offseason or start to put some chum in the water for other free agents. I mean, this isn't... It's not tampering, so to speak, but you got to get out in front of these things. And the Giants are a team that I don't think any people expect to all of a sudden make a miraculous, you know, 18-game win streak run to the postseason. So right now, and I think we heard it last night, or maybe it was on Friday. Oh, yeah. God, that was last night. I was listening to Bob Melvin, and he was talking about how the goal of this team is essentially just development. I mean, the goal of this team is just to get young guys ABs. So the goal of the front office is to try and keep as many mainstay guys that you can envision being good. And Chapman is 1A, 1B, 1C when it comes to position players.
I think that suddenly there's a glimmer of hope with that Giant team just with this one signing. I think it's only fair, because I certainly have done this, and I think a lot of us are guilty, of going after Farhan, and I think with good reason. But I also think it's fair that when he does something well, which this signing was, that it's only right that we give him praise. Because of this one signing has suddenly changed the entire complexion of this baseball team. Because you needed a foundational piece, and that's exactly what Chapman is. He's holding down a corner infield position. Now suddenly when I look at this team, I'm like, okay, you are still clearly two, maybe three players away. Actually, I'm going to tell you who those two players are.
Okay. I swear to God, if you say Grant McCray.
Oh, well, Grant McCray could be your fourth outfielder.
I swear to God.
But now suddenly, because you have a piece, right? Like, you have a cornerstone, literally, and the guy playing the hot corner, and Chapman locked up for the next 6 years.
Not bad.
Now you're like, okay, now there's something to work with. Now it's not complete chaos. So now I look at the outfield. Are you good with Elliot Ramos in left field? I think we would all say yes. I think he turned out to be pretty much legit. He wasn't a Matos. He wasn't a Luciano. He was able to sustain, for the most part, his hitting dominance. He wasn't very good defensively in center field. Matter of fact, he was terrible. But he's good. He's adequate in left field. Are you good with Jung-Hoo Lee in center field? I would say yes.
Of course.
Okay, so now two-thirds of your outfield is set. Now right field becomes a question mark. I guess you can roll out your Yastrzemski again. I don't know whether... You know, who you put in right field, but now if it's Yastrzemski for defensive reasons and for right-hand pitching, okay, I can swallow that. Because now I'm good with Jung-Hoo Lee. I feel good with Elliot Ramos. And Yastrzemski for now is in right field. Now I get to the infield, and I've got Chapman at third. And suddenly I don't have as many holes. I'm moving Fitzgerald over to second base. Now my holes, because Patrick Bailey, I think, are we good with Patrick Bailey behind the plate?
Yeah, I'm good with him behind the plate, not at the plate.
Well, then you're not good with him behind the plate starting.
Well, I would prefer he has a batting average above 220.
Okay, well, keep in mind the overall average.
But he's a great defensive catcher.
And sometimes you're willing to, at that position, in the middle of the field, usually it's center field, shortstop, and your catcher. Usually you look for your offense at the corners, right, at first and at third and other positions.
Sure.
So anyways, he's a good defense. So I think we'd agree that we got a catcher. So here are the two players that can put you back into relevance. And they're both going to be available. Jersey Ken, wherever the hell you are, you're going to recognize one of these.
Polar Bear.
Willy Adames is your new shortstop. Ladies and gentlemen, meet your new starting first baseman by the name of Alonzo, Pete Alonzo. So if I get Adames and Alonzo, I think now, I'm only two players away, whereas before I'm like, this is a mess. This is a hot mess. But the one signing of Chapman has suddenly given me a foundational piece where just go get Willy Adames, all right? It's not Soto. It's not Shohei Ohtani. Those guys aren't. Let me just tell you right now, Soto is not coming to San Francisco. You have a shot at Willy Adames. You have a shot at Pete Alonso. Go get those guys.
Well, it is the most significant signing the Giants have made since 2013. I mean, in 10 years, they have not had a signing as significant as this one. And the last one that was bigger was Buster Posey's 9-year, $167 million landmark deal back in 2013. So, like, that's what we're talking about here. It's the most significant signing, obviously, of the Farhan era. But for the Giants, it's their best one since they inked Posey to a 9-year deal. And Chapman is a player that I really enjoy watching, especially on the defensive side. But you're right, he can't be the only one. And that's my only fear about this offseason is that this is going to be the biggest signing that they make. And I think that's also a reason why they got it done now. And it also leads me to believe that Blake Snell is going to test free agency, and he's somebody that's not going to be back, because I also think they'd try to get that deal done too, before the end of the season, before free agency starts. And I don't know how you feel about this, Dan, and we can get into it on the other side, but I think it also means that there's a lifeline for this front office and for this coaching staff that we're going to see next season. If that's a good thing, perhaps can hear from you at 888-957-9570. But we're midway through the show. We're taking up until 12 Saturdays on the game with Evan Giddings alongside Dan DeBone. I do want to roll out my 49ers takes for the season in our, maybe not next segment, but certainly in the third hour, and also get your thoughts on that. Again, 888-957-9570 is the number. We're back after this on 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Pig out, grab a brew, and some wings, and just watch football tomorrow. Like, that's what I'm going to do.
How about a little quinoa?
Quinoa?
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Oh, that's the drop right
there.
Dude,
you are something else. That's Dan DeVone. I'm Evan Giddings.
Do you ever eat healthy? Clean up the diet?
See why I eat healthy. Come on, Dan.
Is it meat and potatoes every day?
Well, you can't throw too many potatoes in there. Because you don't want to get too many carbs, you know. Unless, of course, you're
going to
exercise before. No, I eat carbs. I'm primarily rice, though. I don't know. I'm some sort of protein. I love spinach, broccoli,
spinach.
Any cruciferous vegetable. But yeah, man, I'm pretty basic, honestly, in my diet. I feel like that's the easiest way to go. I hate thinking about where my next meal is going to come from. So a lot of it's just prepared. You know, just cook a big bowl of chicken or some turkey or red meat, whatever you're thinking about.
Is cruciferous because it's cross-like? Is that the origin of that word?
I'm honestly not sure. I just know that there's a family of cruciferous vegetables that are supposed to be leafy, nutrient-dense.
Right?
Yeah, broccoli, I think, is the most notable one. But I've been eating... That was the only vegetable, weirdly, that I could eat as a kid. Cucumbers don't really count, but... Because there's not a lot of nutrients in there. It's like eating iceberg lettuce, right? There's no nutritional value in iceberg lettuce. You gotta eat something that just kind of makes you go, yeah, you know.
Kale.
Like spinach.
As much as...
You don't like kale?
I like it in a smoothie, but just because a lot of my stuff I don't like processed. I don't even like... I'll eat stuff raw, and kale I just can't do, man. I know it's popular, but ugh, gotta be kidding me.
Why?
Have you had kale?
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
Come on. What are we doing here? Huh?
See, there are some things that you got to warm up to as life moves on. The things that you generally hate are the things that are the best for you. Like, one of the best pieces of advice that I got in order to stay in shape, and you clearly have been able to do that for a far longer time than I, but it's the exercises that make you just grit your teeth and the ones that you hated doing as a kid... like sprinting or, I don't know, you know, compound lifts. Like the ones that you don't like are the ones that'll keep you young.
Yeah, I'm not that. I'm not in that world, man. Like I don't.
No, you just rather swim in the Pacific Ocean.
Well, yeah, I'm not into pain for gain. Like I think you got to do something that you enjoy as well as be healthy. Like I could never compound lifts. What the hell is that?
Well, you enjoy polar plunges? I mean, what is this?
Yeah, no, that to me has become therapeutic. It has nothing to do with the physical benefits. It's more sort of like mentally putting you in the right place. But I digress.
Well, what kind of mental state are you in entering the NFL season?
Well, I tell you what, I think that this game on Monday night, we may as well do our deep dive. We've spent an hour and a half talking about the Swifties and cruciferous vegetables.
Now, that's you. That is not me. I've been trying to stay away from Taylor this entire time, James or Swift.
I think that this game on Monday night is going to be a lot of fun, because I'm not a Jets fan. I want to be on record. I love New York, but I don't like the Jets. I can't stand their owner, and I don't like Aaron Rodgers. I know that that's a personal rant. I should keep that under my hat. Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? Hell yes. Is he still, I think, an adequate quarterback? Well, we'll see. He hasn't thrown a pass in like 2 years. But I'm out on the Jets. I don't want the Jets to do well. Just not a fan. But I do think that this is going to be a real challenge in week one for the 49ers, because I do think that the Jets are an improved football team. How could they not? I mean, it's a team that won 7 games with Zach Wilson as your starting quarterback for the most part. If it wasn't Joe Flacco, your comeback player of the year. But, I mean, it's a bad team that won 7 games and was talking about getting into the playoffs. How could it not be better when you think about the upgrades right across the board?
Well, I do want to bring Ken into this, because he's the one wearing a turquoise Miami Dolphins hat. If there's a member of
Aqua.
The... Aqua. See, like...
What? It's not a real color.
Why you got to do that?
Aqua and coral. That's our official team colors.
Coral's the orange?
Yeah.
It's just orange.
It is orange, but
the creamsicle.
It's a coral. No, not creamsicle. Those are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
No, but I'm saying that the color of orange is a light, creamy sort of orange.
Ours is like a dark, hearty orange.
So it's a tangerine.
not that hearty.
Okay. I digress. My point that I wanted to get to, Ken, is of members in the AFC least, which ones scare you the most as a Dolphins fan? Is it the Jets? Would it be the Bills?
You know what's amazing about that question? This is, not to be boastful at all, but this is probably one of the first years I am not afraid of anybody. I mean, over my time being a Dolphins fan, it was always the Patriots. It was always the Bills. Even the Jets back in 2009, 2010. Had to worry about them. This year, I mean, there's a lot of hype going into, you know, the Jets, Aaron Rodgers finally going to be on the field, finally healthy. I mean, we'll see there, but the Bills have regressed. The Patriots are a dumpster fire right now, just sitting in the basement of
worst
the AFC.
Worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, definitely going to be one of them. But I'm feeling pretty good. That's scared. And Evan, to answer the question, it scares me because I'm not afraid of anybody.
All right, first rule in life. You need appropriate fear. Okay, Ken? I'm going to bestow that upon you.
Okay. All right. To be honest, the Bills, I will say, only because we still haven't beaten them in Buffalo yet. Tua has still not gotten a win in Buffalo. He's come close a couple of times. We've always come up short. I'll never count out the Bills, even though I think they have digressed in terms of roster.
But I'm glad that Ken gave us that, because... That is the most quintessential start of NFL season football answer I have heard, which is, I am afraid of no one. And all you've been hearing the entire offseason is about the inadequacies of a certain group, or about how a team has taken a step back, or about how my team, mainly, my team, whatever team that is, yours or hers, is going to be significantly better this offseason, until week one happens and you find out all the flaws that were there the entire time. So the reason why this show is fun to me right before the beginning of week one, Dan, is because that sort of confidence is all across the country. If you ask any person, any fan of a football team, whether they're supposed to finish in last like you believe the Patriots will, or they're supposed to win the Super Bowl like you believe the Chiefs will, or people believe the Chiefs will, everyone has just a headstrong approach to week one.
Well, that's because everybody has the same record, and there's always optimism for everybody. But I think to his point, to Ken's point, there is some legitimacy when you think about Miami, because that division has always been New England. And then when New England finally stepped aside, then it was Buffalo. And now all of a sudden, Buffalo, for whatever reason, I don't know if their window's closed, but Josh Allen and McDermott, I mean, he's on somewhat of a hot seat, but he's right. I think Miami, and whether you believe in the Jets or not, I know a lot of people in New York think that it's the Jets division, but there really isn't that big bad wolf in the NFC, or excuse me, in the AFC East this year. So it is pretty wide open. And there is, while there's optimism for everybody, I think even more so for that of Dolphin fans.
Well, I think the Dolphins should win that division, but it doesn't mean that they will. Like, the Niners should win the NFC West, but to me, the gap between them and, say, the Rams, or, I don't know, maybe some people have the Seahawks second in that division.
Watch out for Seattle.
See, you have too many affiliations around the country, Dan. I'm telling you.
Seattle, just listen to me on this one. Just listen to me on this one. I think they got Denver in week one. For those of you that like to bet, just, like, lay those points. Seattle is going to be scary dangerous. McDonald is real deal. Coach Mike McDonald is going to change. We always talk about the culture word. Kenneth Walker, they got wide receivers. They've got a defense. They got those deep. Oh, that's a scary team. And Geno Smith, say what you will about Geno Smith, he doesn't lose you games, all right? He does not lose you games. I'm just telling you, Seattle's going to be a tough out. Like, do not sleep on the Seahawks this year.
Yes, they are built like a prison body. They got really big arms. And then, like me, occasionally on air from 10 to 2 on weekdays, they don't have a spine. So they don't have a defensive line. The interior and the offensive line, to me, is where they struggle and they lose me. But it's funny, you're talking about...
Kid they took out of Texas. I want to say Jones or Atwoods. We can look at
Their new rookie D tackle. No, that's true.
It's just... Anyways, go. And that offensive line, it could be, at the end of the day, as good as Detroit, but... It's a lot of wait and see. It's just a scary team lurking in the weeds. Like, you know,
every scary team is not that scary, though.
But think about it. When we talked about last year with the opportunity for the 49ers to win that damn Super Bowl, it's because of a couple of things. It was an off year for the NFC. Teams like Seattle and LA were still a year or two away. Same could be said about Green Bay and Detroit. And, of course, there was that implosion named the Philadelphia Eagles. But I don't think that's applicable this year. I think Seattle is not that same team they've been the last couple of years. Going in there and coming away with a victory as easily as they have done over the last 2 years under Kyle Shanahan, I'll be very surprised. I'm not saying that they'll lose, but Seattle is going to be much, much more formidable.
Well, they shouldn't lose. I mean, they're playing a rookie quarterback making his first start in the NFL at home. They also have the second...
You're talking about
widest spread. Yeah, and Bo Nix. They have the second widest spread, third widest spread of any of the week one games.
What's the point?
-6 at home.
That's a lot.
It is. The Bills would be the second highest at 6.5 at Arizona, so they're on the road. I wouldn't be worried about that. But honestly, the one, because you kind of brought them up, look out for the Patriots week 1.
I'm out of here.
Against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Let's go get a beer.
All right. No, there.
You can talk about Jacoby Brissett for a little bit.
Look out for the Patriots week 1.
Why would you even do that?
Because, and there is.
What? Do you want to just be the contrarian? Are you that guy? Like, I just got
to
be this
There's
guy.
Reason to believe what?
No, he does work with Steiny, so that kind of.
No, because unlike Steiny, I think about these things.
You cannot support this argument. We're going to kill your mic. There's nothing you can say from this point forward.
I got three words. Sorry, four. Yeah, four words. Joe Burrow in September.
Explain yourself.
He stinks. He stinks at the beginning of every single season. Did you see what he did the first 3 weeks of last year before he got hurt? He's been terrible.
Oh, you're talking about for one game, New England.
Yeah.
Take the point.
Yeah, like I'm talking about taking the spread. Like they're gonna cover tomorrow.
Talking about New England winning the
division. What's the spread?
Oh, no. They're not going to win the division. It's 7.5.
So you like the point. Okay.
I like the points in that game. I think there's an outside chance they could win that game.
New England is historically bad, though. You know that, right?
What?
They are potentially the worst team in the NFL.
However, the worst team in the NFL rarely goes defeated. So, week 1. Also, I think the Patriots started out like 2-0 last year before they ended up.
And to your point, even though they lost Jerod Mayo, I will say I do like the who's the new head coach? He's the DC. He was a DC, but I do like the new head coach for New England, and
Mayo.
I think that. I'm thinking of Judon. Excuse me. I mixed up Mayo and Judon.
Yeah, they lost traded
Matthew
Judon.
They lost Matthew Judon. But I think defensively, Evan, he may have a point there. I also think that Joe Burrow, he's going to get it done.
Okay, so Ja'Marr Chase has practiced very little. He's going to be out there on the field allegedly. T. Higgins is going to be out for Cincinnati. I don't think Chase is out 100%. And Joe Burrow typically struggles at the beginning of seasons. That would be my reason for playing or laying the 7.5 if I had to pick a side in that game. And I do think there's an outside chance that they win, even though it's going to be Drake May's first start in the NFL. Just saying.
7.5.
Watch out.
Maybe. Maybe. I'll give you my sleeper. I've told you this
before.
Joe
Burrow has lost his opener, what was it, three of his first 4 years? I don't know. Anyways, Dan, sorry.
I'll give you my sleeper since we're going down this road.
Well, you like the Vikings. I know that. I think Sam Darnold's entire team has been obliterated by injury.
Sam Darnold is your comeback player of the year. I don't like the team. I think Sam Darnold's going to have a big year.
Sammy D? Well, I hope so. He's throwing my boy Jetta.
The Giants. And so one of those two quarterbacks is going to be your comeback player of the year, either Daniel Jones or Sam Darnold.
Even better, Jacoby Brissett is starting, so they're not starting a rookie.
Oh, no.
Oh, I apologize for that. I thought I'd take him anyways. But Brissett, dude, he can light up an opposing defense, especially as poor as Cincy's, I think, can be.
Are you being facetious? Jacoby Brissett.
A little bit, but, you know, I like Brissett. He's a solid quarterback. Not once as dominant.
There's no reason to start a rookie or throw a rookie.
Why the Broncos starting Bo Nix over your boy Zach Wilson?
Yeah, but at least they've got some pieces in place. Like, there's nothing. We talked about David Carr back in the day. It's the worst thing you can
do. Wait, so you're in on Sam Darnold, but you're out on Jacoby Brissett?
As a quarterback?
Yeah.
Yeah.
same guy.
Oh, come on. Jacoby Brissett.
Like, I know Steve Young told you last year that Sam Darnold throws the best ball he's ever seen in his life or whatever it is, but...
But think, listen, he has not had an opportunity, right? Like, the only opportunity he's had in a winning program with anybody that knew what the hell was going on was last year with the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan. I think he learned a lot.
And he couldn't beat out a guy with a UCL tear.
Yeah, I think he learned a lot. That was his job. We all know that. And I think that Sam Darnold, if Kyle Shanahan's investing you and says, I see something in you, kid, listen to Kyle Shanahan. And I think that he just needs to be, is it O'Connell that still is? It's Kevin O'Connell still out there, right, in Minnesota, right? He just needs to be in the right environment. That mess in New York and then going to Carolina, come on. Like, that was a lose-lose. Some guys toil in this league and just have to be in the right environment. I mean, his arm strength and his decision-making, I just think he's primed. Now, listen, is it a good Minnesota team? No. But I think if you have somebody that's going to sort of come out of nowhere, like, holy crap, Sam Darnold, number three overall a couple of years back. I thought he was with Josh Rosen selling real estate somewhere. He's actually going to be a legitimate quarterback in this league with Minnesota this year.
Well, I don't think it's out of the question that Darnold has the potential to do what, say, Baker Mayfield did last season with Tampa Bay, but that is not going to happen on the Vikings, I don't think. I mean, Baker Mayfield threw 30 touchdowns-ish last year with Tampa Bay, but he had a coordinator that went out and got himself a head coaching job. His offense had multiple weapons on it and had a halfway decent defense. Like, that's a team that you can at least win some football games with. I don't see anything about the Minnesota Vikings that leads me to believe they can win football
games. Justin Jefferson?
As I keep for the New England Patriots. But, well, Justin Jefferson is quarterback proof. That's actually the one guy in the NFL. And I guess, actually, I'd throw Tyreek Hill in there because his quarterback's not great either. That was a shot at Ken. But if there is a quarterback-proof wide receiver, like, it doesn't matter who's throwing the ball. It used to be DeAndre Hopkins, and now it's Justin Jefferson.
Speaking of wide receivers, how much can you expect out of Brandon Ayuk on Monday?
I'm curious to see what his pitch count's going to be. I mean, I don't think he's going to be out there for as he played probably what, like, felt like 80 to 90% of snaps last year when he was on the field. I think this year probably I'd say it's closer to 50 than 80.
Well, then
50% of snaps.
Who's getting his snaps?
Conley, Cowing, you know, maybe they and just throw a double tight end set in there. I don't know. Like, to me, Brandon Ayuk is going to need some time. And the last thing that I want to risk at this point of the season, to go back to our initial conversation from the first hour, the last thing I need is early season injuries. The last thing I need is, you know,
which is why Christian McCaffrey,
soft tissue injuries.
In a perfect world, if I'm the coach, Christian McCaffrey is not playing in that football game.
On Monday night?
No.
Why? At all? Ideally, you could win the game without him, but...
Well, Kevin Durant online, too. If you're dealing with a calf / Achilles situation and it's not fully recovered and you're still a little bit tender, I just locked you up to an extension. We just reset the market at the running back position with your contract. Like, this is a long-term play. And I also think that Jordan Mason is more than capable. Like, I need you not only throughout this entire season, I need you for the next couple of years, Christian McCaffrey. And we're talking about an Achilles. I'm not risking that with you in week 1 against the Jets. It's a long season, man. It's a long. He's still in his 20s. And look, I don't go any. When it's, if you mention Achilles and calf, that's a red alert. And the drop off, if it was that significant, I would maybe reconsider it. But I'm okay with Jordan Mason. I'm okay with Jordan Mason taking the lion's share on Monday night.
I think you're going to need McCaffrey to beat the Jets. By the way, this is Kyle Shanahan talking about Brandon Ayuk and his availability.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised with that, but my expectations are that I'd be surprised with 98%. I'll see as the week goes. We've had one practice with him. He threw with Brock over the weekend. We got one practice with Trent. Today will be their second. See how they are these 3 days and then kind of evaluate it.
Yeah, I think the bigger question that I have is how much Trent Williams plays. I think he's going to be out there for the majority of the game, and he'll need to be, because I think right now they only have three tackles listed on the roster. Ayuk is somebody, I think the offense, especially if McCaffrey is out there and going full bore, I don't know if they necessarily need him, but in a perfect world, you get a big lead. And this is honestly the confusing part about a lot of their games last season, is they would still be in positions to blow out teams. And you see McCaffrey out there in the second half and the fourth quarter up three scores. There needs to be, in my opinion, a lot less of that this season, and not just on Monday night.
What are your thoughts on McCaffrey? Are you playing him?
Well, yeah, of course. If he says he can go, yeah.
A calf and an Achilles. Like, he hasn't played the entire preseason because that thing's a little grumpy. Like, I get it that you want to play against the Jets and you might be cleared, but I'm going to err on the side of safety when it comes to the Achilles, all right? And Jordan Mason has proven himself not only in the preseason, but since this kid came onto campus a couple of years back. I like the way this dude runs. Is he as good as McCaffrey? No. But the drop-off isn't that significant where I'm saying McCaffrey's got to play despite having sort of an area of that Achilles and the calf where, you know, it's not, you're not completely fully cleared as far as I'm concerned.
I think they should probably monitor his snap count. McCaffrey absolutely needs to play. I mean, this team runs through him. You know, to me, it's Trent Williams, it's Purdy, it's McCaffrey. That's kind of your holy trinity of importance on offense. But you need number 23 back there, at the very least, to force the Jets to put eight in the box. You know, this is a team that can get after you with four. And I do think that even if Trent Williams is playing his best, which is, you know, maybe not, based on how much time he's committed to himself this offseason, that's a defensive line that can get after the quarterback, even though it doesn't seem like Hassan Reddick is going to be available on Monday night. Who knows if he even plays with the Jets this season. But no, I mean, you have to be wary of McCaffrey, but Dan, it's also the NFL. I mean, we saw last night Jordan Love play 98% of plays, and on the second to last play of the game, he gets hit on the ankle, manages to avoid an ACL or MCL tear, but that's kind of the way things are. Your season can change that quickly, and a lot of people, I'm sure, just went from thinking the Packers could potentially get the one seed to, well, it all depends on the health of their quarterback now. I think the Niners have a similar, not, well, no, I wouldn't say similar weight invested in McCaffrey, but I think they have a lot of their season riding on him.
Think about Giannis last year when he had the calf injury. And the minute it happened, everybody said, ooh, he just ruptured his Achilles. It's over.
Yeah, season's over.
And they sat him for the rest of the year. Everybody now sort of errs, and I think it was after what happened to Kevin Durant in the postseason. When Kevin Durant initially had that calf injury and they let him play, actually, they sat him, and then he came back and played, and then, boom, popped his Achilles. People are like, you know what? If you've got an Achilles calf injury, I'm sorry. I know you can come back in a week, but I'm going to make it a month. Now, I'm not saying for McCaffrey that's the situation, but you have to think about this in sort of a longer-term goal. Like, this is, you just re-upped him. You just set the market with him being the highest-paid running back. You just extended him. And to risk potentially an Achilles injury in week one against the Jets, I know it's the Jets, we all get excited, but I think that you have to have a longer term view of things when it comes to McCaffrey and his significance to this football team.
I think they do, but if this is really, you know, I mean, God forbid, knock on wood, but if this is really a lingering injury for McCaffrey, I'm sorry, but it's not going away after 1 week. You know, he's not going to be all of a sudden just 100% for the Vikings week two. In fact, he might not be 100% for the first quarter to half of the season. If there is, quit pointing at Taylor Swift on the television, Dan, and I don't want to see her referenced again unless it's during a commercial break.
I think they're together. I'll sleep well tonight.
Well, I'm
scared there for a moment.
I'm glad you... You work in PR before these things. It's a ruse.
Well, I mean, this is according to her PR firm that they had mutually decided that they were going to separate.
Did her PR firm also announce when she broke up with John Mayer or Harry Styles or the umpteen, you know,
see,
understandably
Troy,
respectable men that she's been entangled with?
See, when we talk about
over the course of her life,
the networks. And we're talking about whether the Amazons and the Peacocks that are covering football right now. See, Troy Aikman's got it. Troy Aikman was the first. And this is a no-brainer. You reach out to her and say, will you join us in the booth? Like, will you join us for a snap or two? Like, that to me is that she's there. She's like, and Troy Aikman did this on his own. He's like, I'm inviting Taylor Swift to come up for a couple of plays.
Yeah, and her PR agent probably responded, sure, 6-0. You got that Peacock money. You can find a way to get Taylor Swift on the broadcast. When we come back on the other side, I want to continue the conversation about the Niners and the Jets. About 48 hours away.
Who's winning?
A little bit
game?
Less. I'll tell you on the other side. Evan Giddings and Dan DeVone with you alongside Ken Luttrell here with you on 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.